Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 187 for Tuesday, December 20th. That's right, five more days until Christmas. Boy, I tell you, it's going by really, really fast. I hope everybody out there is getting into the Christmas spirit. And we are going to have a couple of podcast episodes back-to-back leading up to the game, kind of going over some of the key units within this the matchup that we've got. And we've got some recruiting news tonight. But to get us started, let's welcome tonight's panel. We have got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
Man, I'm doing good. I hope everybody's just doing great. It's in the Christmas spirit. I am in the Christmas spirit, even though I have not bought one gift yet. But gift cards make it a lot really simple.
Are you one of those that like wait till Christmas Eve to go out to the mall to buy Christmas presents?
No, I don't go to the mall, first of all. I'm done with that. That's a zoo. I went to Gaylord today just to pee in to see what's going on. That was a zoo. I walked out in 10 minutes. So, no, I'm one of those guys who just kind of go early in the morning, get it out the way as soon as they open, knock it all out and done. So I'll do that at some point this week.
Yeah, I'll have to admit, I am a little behind on a few things. I've actually got some gifts I actually got to make. At this point, so I've got a couple of picture frame stuff that some of my family members wanted me to make to frame some artwork that they've got, and a couple other little things. Apparently, I've got to make a dollhouse for one of my nieces now, so it's going to be it's going to be an interesting week. So, yeah, and a few that I have to buy because can't make them all, right? That's how it works.
No.
No, not at all. And also joining us on this week's podcast, we have got Sports Illustrated writer from the Fan Zone, Nate Cross. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great. Getting in the Christmas spirit after finishing all the finals and just looking forward to the game.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting end to the semester, and I imagine the TCU students are happy to get their break, but I know this football team is happy to get to work. Get the academic side behind them so they can focus on Michigan. And before we actually talk about Big Blue and the Fiesta Bowl, Nate, you've got some recruiting news. We had some major recruiting news in the last week. So why don't you run it down for us and let us know what are some of the big impacts that we're going to see on this team?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some big recruiting news that came through, including some great transfers such as JoJo Earl and Jack Beck, which will definitely help the offensive side. Jack Beck is a tight end that is transferring from LSU, and Earl is a former Aledo native, and he played a season at Alabama, and he's looking to transfer here, so that's great news. And as well as Avery Helm, who is a great cornerback out of Florida, and he is also transferring to the Frogs. But we also had some great people commit to TCU, such as Channing Canada. He's another cornerback, and he's a four-star out of Athens, Texas. And
do we have to now sing O Canada whenever he comes into play?
Hey, you never know. We got to get something started. But a lot to our secondary, such as two safeties, Randon Fontenette and Jamel Johnson, and they're both four-stars as well. And I think our defensive side is starting to really amp it up. And I think the offensive side is starting to do that. So, and with the news that Max is leaving, I think we'll start to get some quarterback action as well. And so we'll have to keep a close eye on that. But those are a few that really made some news on this.
Yeah, you gotta like the moves on the defensive side, Shannon, because this is one area that I know going into the season there was a lot of question marks, especially at linebacker, especially defensive back. Position, it looks like Sonny and his team and his staff has gone out and really shored up a lot of the question marks that we had going into this season, and that looks pretty good for next season.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, man. I've been seeing a lot of the social media, you know, plugs about who we're getting, and my mind's been on the game and other things, but I forgot we're knee deep in recruiting right now. So to see some of these people flash across my social media, I'm like, oh man, this is good news, especially when you got kids coming in from Alabama and places like that, knowing they've been coached up by some great coaches and they go to Alabama and the schools of that nature, you know, they have some type of skills. So to get any of those guys, number one corners in JUCO and things of that nature, that's huge. I mean, that's, And then we get some size in. I heard these guys have some size, which is good. So this is where, you know, I think that depth is going to start coming in, because obviously to make a push, nobody, if you said we're going to make it to the national, to the playoffs, you're lying. So if that is the expectation, we're going to have depth. And luckily we've not been beat up so bad, you know, this year. I think we're pretty healthy going into this game for the most part. Couple nicks here and there, but that's why you got this long stretch. You get healthy, you get healed up, and everybody's able to play. So with that hopefully starting to be the norm, that's going to be great. One man goes down, you know, we got some backup. So I love that. I love it. That has not been the case in our past. I don't know.
Well, depth has always been a question mark with this defense. It looks like we've got really good skill position players, but then when somebody goes down, the next man up attitude hasn't quite been there in the last few years. Now that's changed a little bit this season. And I think that's kind of attributed to a lot of the coaching, but having those guys, especially 4-star recruits that, you know, you can rely and depend on, that's making a huge difference. And also, Nate, you mentioned we're getting some of these local guys back too. I mean, that is huge, because a lot of times those guys who are playing at Aledo or up in, oh goodness gracious! I'm the Dragons, South Lake. You know, those guys go to the SEC, right? They go to A&M, they go to LSU, they go to Alabama, they go to Florida. They don't want to stick around here for whatever reason. And I think a lot of what we've seen this season, a lot of the turnaround, obviously the change in the staff. I think we're starting to see an impact with the local players. They're starting to take notice as TCU as being a destination. At least have it on your list, not just kind of play lip service. But yeah, it's okay to stay home and kind of play around here and play for TCU, because you know there's a lot of really cool things going on at the college. So let's talk a little bit about this upcoming Fiesta Bowl game. This is going to be one of those battles. A lot of TCU fans, of course, have a little bit of a bad taste in the mouth last time TCU was in the Fiesta Bowl against Boise State for a lot of different reasons. So it's kind of an opportunity to kind of come back and show that, you know, we're not going to let that kind of get us down. But at the same time, college football playoffs are an interesting time of the year. You get a huge break between your final game of the season, which most of the time is that conference championship game, and then that first round. And in that time, anything goes, right? I mean, I think we've always talked about how Coach Patterson in the past always had, if you had a month to game plan for somebody, Patterson was one of the most dangerous coaches to have on your sideline. And we haven't quite seen what Sonny and his staff has been able to do with this amount of time to game plan for one team. So we want to kind of take this week to focus on two specific aspects of the game, the TCU offense versus the Michigan defense, and kind of break this down a little bit and trying to see, you know, what do we think as a panel, what do we think that TCU's offense needs to do in order to be successful against this defense? And this is a defense that going in, you know, into December, Michigan's defense gave up the fewest first downs in the nation. They only gave up 127 at that point. And they ranked first in rushing defense, only allowing 72 yards a game. And they were first in scoring defense, giving up just 11.2 points per game. This is one of the absolute best defensive units in the country that the TCU offense is going to face off against. Now, of course, it's not an apples versus apples comparison, right? Because you're talking about a Big Ten team versus a Big Ten team. But let's break this down a little bit. And Nate, Shannon, you guys have both kind of watched film on this. What do you all think about this Michigan defense? Is this a solid, well-rounded defense, or is this suited specifically for the type of football that's played in the Big Ten?
Well, a little bit of both. You know, I watched the Ohio State-Michigan game. Obviously, I hadn't paid much attention to them all year, just minding my business in the Big 12 and then watching football on the weekends. But I did. And I was able to watch the Ohio State-Michigan game. And you're right. Michigan, they're not 13-0, 14-0 for no reason, whatever it is. But here's the thing. You try to look for a weak point. To me, they're weak. If they're weak at anything, is you can get off on them. They're sometimes they run anywhere from a 3-5-man rush. And you're able to – you can pass the ball on these guys. If you look at the game with Ohio State guys – that was one of those games. Ohio State beat Ohio State. If you look all the way up into the fourth quarter before that, the quarterback started throwing stupid picks. And then they you know, the game was – and the running back was able to, at the last minute, bust off two long runs. Well, I think Michigan was deflated because the quarterback, they're in it. He throws off the ball. But, guys, when Michigan scored – I mean, first play – first I think Ohio State had the ball the first, and they run down four plays, they score a touchdown. I mean, four plays. Michigan answers. Ohio State does the same thing right back. Now, I know it's Ohio State, but my point being is, with this great – with this defense that's pretty good, you can score on them. My thing is, you're going to have to – we're going to have to give our quarterback time, because if they run that three-man front and we can get off on by body with a body and do some double teams, if we give Max time and he's – and him and the receivers are on time, we can find the honey holes. You can pass and get these guys down the field. So that's – to me, if there's any negative in their defense, it's the pass rush. We can score. They give up points. Now, when it's time to clamp down, they do that in the red zone. But we have to, again, we just have to we're going to have to be mistake-free in these areas. We cannot afford to have a lot of mistakes and beat this team. Because I've said it from day one, and you mentioned it, we go back to the Rose Bowl. Yeah, they're big and up front. Yeah, they're tall, all those good things. But that's a different style of football. To me, that's a pound for pound football versus speed for pound, wearing them out type of deal. I believe if we play mistake free and we just keep coming at them body on a body, they're not going to – I'll tell you, I put it on anything. We're in better shape than them. I don't know much about it, but I guarantee you, across the board, we are in better shape than Michigan. We're going to be able to go for four quarters and halftime if need be. The question is, will they? I don't think so, but if I have to say – they have a weak point right now on their defense. That's the 3 to 5 man rush up front. I think we can get it off on them. I really do.
Shannon couldn't have said it better. But Michigan's, they were struggling at the very beginning versus Ohio State, and they seemed to not be able to get it together until the second half. Their coaching allowed them to do that. I agree that we're much faster than them, but we're going to have to get off the bat early. And I agree that throwing it's going to be the key. But we got to do a good mixture of running it. We can't do what we did against Kansas State and make all those mistakes. We got to change up the play calling, and we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. We're going to have to use our ability and speed to our advantage, and we cannot get caught behind. So that is my.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, Shannon's absolutely right. I think the secondary is – it is not as a lockdown secondary as some of the Big 12 teams that we face. They've got, no doubt about it, they've got some really good players, but I think the speed that you're going to find out of the Big 12, and especially this TCU team, I don't think Michigan can game plan for that speed. And I think that we could take advantage of that early on, and that will be, it will take them some time to figure out how to adjust to the speed of the TCU wide receivers. And if Max is on, if he can calm himself down, if he doesn't have those kind of errant throws like he had in the first half against Kansas State, and he's able to find his receivers, which I agree with you, Shannon, they will be open and they'll be available, but he's not going to have a huge window of opportunity to throw that ball. So he's got to be ready for that rush. And they've got, just like Wisconsin, they probably have a first-round NFL draft pick on that defensive line. And it's going to be an interesting battle up front for the TCU offensive line to get that done. But it's interesting that you're talking about the Kansas State game, and I think that was a mistake on our part. We kind of went away from the run for a long stretch of time in that game and didn't quite get back to it until it was just it wasn't going to be effective, because they knew we had to pass to be able to kind of get back into that game. And I think if we can try not to abandon the run early on, even though this team on paper looks like it's going to be very difficult to run the ball, but if we don't necessarily abandon that kind of balanced attack that we've had, I think things will start to open up later on in the game. But yeah, hitting those home run balls early and often may be something that Sonny wants to do coming out of the gate, just to kind of punch him in the mouth and go, hey, guess what? You're not playing in Big Ten country anymore. You know, you're going to have to keep up with us.
And that's the thing. We have a very explosive offense. To me, when we're on, our offense is just explosive as anybody in the country. I mean, it's Big 12. I mean, we can put up points. It's going to come down to timing. All those things that we know, I mean, we've got to put together. Guys, we hadn't played a perfect game, and I know nothing's perfect. What I mean by perfect is mistake-free. What I mean by perfect is we got to beat them in every area of the game. Like, we can't get penalties. We've got to get less penalties than they do. We can't jump off the ball. We can't give them – put ourselves in bad positions because these guys are talented enough. I mean, they're talented. I mean, listen, it's still Michigan at the end of the day. You got to respect them, and I do respect them. But this is one of those games where you look at film, you say, okay, if we can do these things well right here, if we can play perfect enough just to move the ball downfield, wear them out a little bit, because that's what it's going to take. We have to put together drives on every – we can't go three and out. We can't – because what you do is you get that defense rest. We don't need them rested. Even if we don't score on those drives, we got to march down the field and at least set ourselves up for a field goal, because after a while, that's going to play in our favor in the fourth quarter. That's what we know. But if we let them hang in and three and out, and all those kind of things, and they don't get wore out, then it's going to – we're going to set ourselves up for a heavy fourth quarter. We have to move the ball. So, and mind you, if you can't – I'm with you, Sean. You got to establish a run. But we need – you know, you got the screen plays. You have different ways to get the ball into the running back's hands that still classifies as a run, right? So it's just – if we can't go right out the gut, which is going to be hard to do, we got to figure out a way to do the swing, you know, get the running back in open space by doing screens or maybe motion them out, throwing it right. Something different, which I know these guys will do. These guys, one thing I do trust is we're gonna have some different. It'd be shocking to me if we don't look like a totally different offense. Cause the fact of the matter, they have it's been a while. It's gonna be almost a month, give or take, before we play. So it gives them enough time to do something different to where Michigan hadn't seen, and so. That, to me, is going to be a big deal. But we're going to have to play darn near perfect. And once we get them off guard and we hit them in the mouth and we shock them, it's going to be a different ball game. They're going to know they're in a ball game. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Michigan's ready for the longevity that we're capable of. One thing that we have
– longevity, that's a good way of putting it.
I mean, we haven't been shut down. We've not been able to be slowed down. I mean, even at Kansas State, when we're not playing our best, they could not put us away. We're coming right back in this game. Even at Baylor, it was cold, rainy, everything. We were not able to be shut down. And, I mean, I think that just shows a lot about this team. And I don't think Michigan's played a team that's tried to come back. I mean, they may have been able to hang with them, but nobody's tried to really come back on them. And so I think it's going to be a true test on them and us to see if we can keep that up. And I'm excited to see that these receivers are all starting to practice again together, because I felt like they were off. They didn't fully know what the game plan was. And I think that was due to Darius Davis and Quentin Johnson, even Tay Barber getting hurt. They didn't really know what their game plan was and what Max was going to be doing. And so I think that will help a lot for Max to be able to be working with them again and get them back into what they need to do. And I think Kendre Miller, he was just working his best to get through that tough Kansas State line. And I mean, they got the top defensive player of the year for the Big 12. I mean, that's a hard line to get through. So I think Kendre will continue to fight no matter what.
Well, that's a good point, because I think the Kansas State game sets up this running offense really well to prepare for Michigan. And, you know, one of the things that was not talked about enough, and we've talked about it here, but I just did not see it enough in the national media, is the lack of any sort of off week for this TCU team. 11 straight weeks. I mean, guys like Kendre Miller, I mean, you know how it is, Shannon. I mean, when you're hitting that hole – game in, game out, week in, week out, and you're getting, you know, 20, 30 carries. I mean, that takes a massive toll on your body. To have a month off to rest and repair and just kind of heal up and feel better, it may look like a totally different offense, not necessarily because of the game plan, but because these guys are well rested and ready to go.
Yep, I believe in that. That was a great point. Because we hadn't, I didn't thought about that, but, you know, and then to see how we played, you know, And I think a lot of that is the comebacks and how we played, because we're having to, you know, try to get therapy and rest up and all that, plus prepare for the next opponent, you know, and you still got to get on the field. And so when you have time with this bunch to heal, get everybody get fresh and there's no soreness and all those kind of things, to me, that's going to make us even more we're going to be faster than people look. I think when you see us come out, people are going to be like, God, these guys are fast. Well, it helps when you get to rest your body. I mean, it helps when you get to, you know, not be beat up. And trust me, those guys are not doing much hitting right now. You know, they're going full speed, but they're not doing much collision, you know, if you will. So this time is the time where you rest up, heal up, but also get to learn a new opponent. And man, I'm telling you, then they're playing in a dome where so they don't have to worry about the cold and any of those kind of things, the weather, rain. So man, it's going to be beautiful football. I can't wait. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and you know, to Nate's other point about the wide receivers, when you have guys like Quentin, Darius, even Tay Barber go out, it's one thing when you have one of those guys go out. When you start having a rotation of your top receivers are out week after week after week, that does affect your quarterback play. It takes him out of his rhythm. And you noticed Max did a really good job of finding other targets. You know, you had Conrad, you had Wiley. These guys were instrumental in helping in a lot of the comebacks and a lot of the wins later on in the season. But having that team, having that core, like Nate was saying, having them practice again as a unit and being ready to go and being healthy, ready to go, that gives, not only does that give Max confidence, but it also gives Riley an opportunity to really kind of game plan for something that Michigan, unless they go all the way back to like week 4 or 5 of the season, you're not going to see a TCU team with these guys at full strength.
That's true. I mean, that's, you know, again, I don't know how, you know, what their thought process is. I'm hoping it's the same way Michigan, you know, not Michigan or Wisconsin thought about us or whomever. Of course, when you play these games, you know, and in all the locker room, you know, it's easy to think it's just TCU. I still don't think, you know, I think they'll say the right things, do the right things, all that in the media, but in their heads, it's still TCU. And I don't think, you know, again, when we play, I believe up here, what year that was, when we played Ohio State here in the Jerry's World, one thing I respected about them afterwards, they said, that's the fastest team we faced today. That they gave us a game. I love that, because I felt like we lost, but we won because we earned respect from an opponent like that. So I believe once we hit these guys in the mouth, and like I said earlier, they're going to know they're in a ball game. It's going to change their perception about who we really are. And they're going to have to play their best ball to beat us. I'm telling you, if they beat us, they're going to have to play their best ball to beat us. So we're coming at them. It's just what it is.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing to point out, I went over the stats as far as, you know, going through November into December that Michigan's defense has put up. One thing that needs to kind of have a little asterisk next to that is that a lot of the offenses that Michigan played for most of the season were not top offenses. Certainly Ohio State, yes, 100%. Ohio State has one of the best offenses in the country, and they did well, but they did struggle, as Nate mentioned ahead of time. It wasn't until the second half that they kind of started to put things together. A lot of the offenses, though, that Michigan played throughout their entire season were some of the worst offenses in the country. So a lot of those great stats that you're seeing, I mean, they only gave up like 230-something total yards on average. Well, a lot of that's because, well, they played offenses that really just couldn't move the ball. They couldn't get out of their own way. This TCU offense, I imagine that there's a possibility if we can connect through the air early and often, like Shannon, what you were talking about, we may have 230 yards in the first half.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Again, we have one of the most explosive offenses in the country. And to your point, they're going to have to account for everybody on the field. Everybody. Receivers, running back, and here we go. Max. He can run too. So you got to account for him. You know, I'm hoping they throw some plays in there, catch him off balance. We're going to have to catch them off balance. We can't play a simple, I'm not saying we got to come out with trick plays and all that. I'm not saying any of that. We just got to throw them off their game to where it seems like we're coming from every angle. speed is coming from every angle. And now you got the quarterback running up the field for 30, 40 a pop or whatever it may be. So when you throw that at them, it's gonna throw them off. And now they have to sit back. And again, they're going to have to make adjustments, as we will too. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. But we're just that type of offense. We're not a nonchalant offense, if you will. We have a lot of weapons, and we have a great OC who can call some great plays. My issue or my thought process is we just have to make sure the timing's good with the receivers, as you guys stated. We have everybody back, so I'm sure they're working on timing, all those different things. And as long as we play to win and we don't, you know, quote unquote, you know, again, guys, on our side of the table, this is the first for us being this type of game. Michigan, quote unquote, plays in these type of games all the time. For us, so I'm hoping we can handle it, the nerves and all that stuff, to settle in quickly and then get comfortable very quickly and go at them. That's what I'm hoping. That's my kind of my, because I'm nervous too. We're all nervous. We've never been here. And so I just feel like this type of game, the team who controls their nerves and start playing solid football, their game, if you will, get off to a good start, it's going to be hard to beat the other team. But right now, I'm thinking they're going to take us lightly, if you will, and I think we're going to come at them.
I hope you're right. And real quick, Shannon, as a linebacker, when you face off against a team, and there were several teams that, if you remember back in the day when you were at TCU, there were several teams that we played that had mobile quarterbacks that played the option, triple option sometimes, right? So what is the one thing as a linebacker that would throw you off your game the most when you were facing some of these, you know, offenses? The versatility that we have, that you see that our offense is, the balance attack that we have. What's one of the things that you hated to face off against an offense as a linebacker?
Well, to be honest with you, we watch so much film. I can't remember any game that happened. Now, if they come out and they ran something we hadn't seen, that's easy. We got it. We understand. We figured that out and we come back to it. But when you, a team, and especially I think Michigan, I think they're bold enough to say, we're just going to line up and beat these guys with what we've been doing all year long. And so with that mentality for us, that meant as long as we knew our keys, we were so locked in on video to where we knew everything everybody was doing. So even with the option stuff like that, I knew my keys. I knew I had to read the fullback through the quarterback and make my calls to my outside linebacker. You just knew what formation, and you knew the two or three plays they could run at, whatever the case may be. So it's really, we felt more comfortable, if anything. And once you feel comfortable and you know you can stop them because you know they're about to run, it's almost like cheating. I tell people all the time it's like cheating, because Coach Patterson had us so dialed in. We knew everything they were about to do. And it was you could see in your mind, you're like, oh, my God, they're about to run this play. I know this play, and they're about to run it. And you react to it. And it's like, damn, hit them in the mouth, you know, loss of yards or whatever the case may be. So for us, especially at that time, being the, you know, especially by the end of my senior year, we're the number one defense in the country. We were dialed in. We knew everything. We knew every position and what everybody's job was. You had to. And then to watch a team come out and you see a play about to develop that you've seen on TV less than 24 hours ago in the hotel, it was awesome. So for me, it wasn't so much of being nervous as about making the play. You know, you got to make the play. Just because you see it, I mean, you know, you got to stop it. So, you know, will you see some plays that may throw you off? Yeah, something you hadn't seen on film, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to just come up and dial up. Now, will there be a trick play in there, a trick play or something they have in their bag that if we're on their butts and they know they got to do something? Sure. There's going to be that type of play, but that's when you see something, you call timeout. Coaches will tell you, if you see something that we hadn't saw, they're either going to call a timeout or my job was to call a timeout as a linebacker and let's regroup and then let's go over it. So I think that's, you know, for me, that's what's going to happen. You just got to have everybody dialed in on the same page. And if there's something you hadn't seen, call a timeout, let's go over, let's discuss it and come back out.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, a lot of the stuff that, like you said, brand new offense, right? Come on out, look like something that we hadn't seen most of the year. I think that's kind of going to be key in the early part of this game. And I think Sonny's done that time and time again, if you look at his career, He certainly did that enough to absolutely frustrate Gary Patterson every single time he faced off against him across the sideline. But it's going to be interesting to see what he does facing off against Jim Harbaugh. Nate, what do you think? What do you think that the TCU offense, what are the keys to this game for TCU's offense?
I think the keys from just watching them is not run the same things over and over again. I think changing it up is key because, like Shan says, they're gonna be bold and run their same defense that they've been running. So I think we got to catch them off guard and get going early. And I would like to go back to do what we did at the beginning of the season with Darius Davis and try to use those screens because I think we're a quicker team and I think we can get around that. And I also want to see the deep ball with Quinn. I know he's been kind of struggling with his hands a little bit, but I think he's come up time and time again and made that deep ball threat. And I would love to start seeing that because I think once we get past their secondary, we're going to let speed take it to the house. And I think as for the running game, I would like to see a little bit of each back, keep them on their heels. I would even like to see Imani Bailey come back into the situation because I think he is a key to our game. And like if you've seen every time he's come into the game, he's used that explosiveness to him to take it almost to the house almost every time. And so I'd like to see us keep them on the heels and don't run the same plays every time.
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to explain Michigan's defense was a line I read from one of their beat writers. It said that Michigan's defense likes to line up and impose their will on you. And I think that is exactly the game plan that Jim Harbaugh is going to be bringing into this game. Just be like, look, we're Michigan. We know what we're doing. We're just going to game plan for whatever you guys have, but we're not going to let you do it because you know, we're going to play our D the way that we play our D. I don't think there's going to be a lot of wrinkles that the TCU offense is going to see for this defense because I don't think they feel like they need to change a lot of the stuff on their defense. However, I don't know. This TCU offense is a completely different animal than what Michigan has had to deal with all season long. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. And this is definitely going to be one of those chess matches when you're watching the game within the game, is how is the Michigan defense going to line up? How many times are they going to try to blitz? How many guys are they going to send to try to get to Max? Are they just going to send three most of the game? Are they going to try to send five early on to try to get Max off his game? You know, those are going to kind of be the keys to watch out for and see how Max is able to handle the pressure.
That's a good point. I do think Harbaugh's smart enough to know or to think if we shut the quarterback down, they don't have a chance. I do believe now what that's going to be, blitzes, whatever the case, be throwing different things at him, that's going to be the key. So because, listen, Matt, I feel like the offense goes as Matt goes, the energy, all that stuff. And so I think that will be what they'll try to throw. That's the defense. You stop this guy here, we take him out of the game. So Max is going to have to play a hell of a game. He's going to have to really make great decisions. We can't take sacks for 50, 10 yards, things of that nature. We're going to have to get rid of the ball. He's going to throw it away, whatever the case may be. But I do believe from a defensive standpoint, they will try to do everything they can to shut him down.
Yeah, I agree. They will definitely try to do that. And, you know, it just makes sense. I mean, you have the Heisman runner-up that you're facing off against, right? I mean, if you take him off the chessboard, obviously you're going to have a better game. But if I was Sonny, I would try to work with Max to try to get him on a three count, like 1, 2, 3, get rid of the ball. Like, don't try to hold it for 4 or 5 seconds. Try to get locked in on 1 or 2 reads early on just to kind of get it out there quickly and get yardage, move down the field, go to that fast paced, no huddle offense that we see all the time in the Big 12. Keep Michigan on their heels, not knowing what's going to happen. Hit the screens, run the ball, go to a slant, do a wide receiver screen. I know we all hate the bubble screens, but I think that it may work in this particular instance against this Michigan D, and just keep going down the field. Like you said earlier, Shannon, yardage is the key. No three and outs. Keep the ball moving as much as you possibly can. And then those home run balls start opening up because now you've got 4 or 5 seconds to allow Quinton or Tay or Darius on a slant to be able to get open. And then all of a sudden, now everything's really opened up to you. But I'm really hoping we don't see any sort of crazy stuff like we saw in Kansas State early on, where we're expecting, you know, Max to have 4 or 5 seconds to let something develop downfield to try to hit home run balls. I'm hoping we're trying to go and be very quick, very efficient all the way down the field.
Yep. And to your point, Nate, I mean, I think with Quentin, man, any ball to him is a 50-50 ball, especially if the cornerback's short. You've got to throw that ball down the field, give him opportunity to make the catch or get a pass interference. So we're going to have to use that, use him more in this game. This is his type of game. This is big. This guy's about to be drafted. You got to give him more opportunities than one or two. You're going to have to – we're going to have to put him in the – he's going to have a package for himself for this game, because he's going to either catch the ball or – especially the balls – if Max throws a good ball, put in the vicinity where he's supposed to be, it's a 50-50 ball. He's going to catch it and or get a pass interference. So it's going to be key that we use this guy.
Yeah, I mean – I 100% agree with Shannon. I think we need to use him to his best ability. I mean, like, Quentin didn't get that many. He wasn't thrown to as much, especially after that interception. I mean, that we stopped going to him as much during the Big 12 championship.
Well, and to be honest with you, I kind of think he was hurt a little bit on that play.
I agree, because he went with like, a limp, and, I mean – they also said something with his, like, shoulder, too. I think we should have continued to use him as a threat.
That's a good point.
I also want to see us use a variety of receivers, too. And because I feel like we stuck to, like, just a few just players during that game. I mean, we didn't see any action from Imani Bailey. We didn't see any actions from Blair Conrad during the game as much. But I would like to see more because that's when we catch teams off guard, is when we start going to those receivers and knowing that we have those options to go to. And I hope to see that everybody's healthy and we can have a full, like, game plan ahead of us. So that's kind of what I feel like.
Well, hopefully this will be the game we this one and the next one. Let's be honest, we're all hopeful that we put four full quarters of football on the field, and it's going to be an interesting one to see. But one last little thing as we kind of wrap up tonight, I just got this text from Ryan, and this is interesting. Taco Bell, I didn't know this. I guess Taco Bell is one of the main sponsors for the Fiesta Bowl. Go figure. I thought it was Burger King. Anyway, so Taco Bell and the Fiesta Bowl said that student tickets to the Fiesta Bowl are now free. So I don't know all the details right now, but if you want to go on Twitter at Taco Bell and go and check them out, I'm sure they've got details about this, because this is a very interesting development. And if you're a college student, trust me, we had a lot of students during the Rose Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl years that drove all the way out there for the game. Of course, they had to pay for their ticket, but if you can get a free ticket from the Fiesta Bowl to go watch the game and support the Frogs, do it, because that is an experience in and of itself. I know a lot of people can't afford to fly out there, and the flights have gotten ridiculously expensive. I know that several of our media team, we've decided we're going to do a road trip, and it's a fun road trip. Sure, West Texas is not a lot of fun, but once you get out of West Texas, it's a great road trip. But outside of that, I mean, it's a fun drive. You know, get a bunch of your friends, get a ticket, go there. Even if you have to sleep in a Motel 6 an hour away from the stadium, so be it. Trust me, it's an experience that you will never, ever forget. But that's an awesome thing. And like I said, go on Twitter, at Taco Bell, and go ahead and read about that. And that's going to be an interesting development there, to see how many students actually show up to the Fiesta Bowl. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed that kind of breakdown between the TCU offense and the Michigan defense. Next week, we will switch it, and we'll talk about the Michigan offense against the TCU defense and see what the Frog defense needs to do to be able to stop this somewhat explosive and power running game that Michigan has, even though that their star running back is currently injured. Their backup is not too shabby. He is something else.
He's a hell of a running back.
He is. So it's going to be interesting. We'll break that down for you next week. But until then, we want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. Of course, you can find the Killer Frogs podcast on all the major platforms. We're on Apple, we're on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and as of last week, we're also on Amazon Podcast, so you can go ahead and check us out there. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, read all about TCU Athletics on the Fan Zone, or just go to the forum, sign up for a free account, let us know what you think. What are the keys to the game for TCU's offense against Michigan's defense in the Fiesta Bowl? And, you know, post and give us your thoughts. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say... Go Frogs!
Go Frogs! Go Frogs.